Hello guys, and welcome to Run Planet 365. And today I am driving, and so the quality might not be as perfect as when I am at home. But today we're going to talk about one thing, and that's called, can you train too easy, right? Versus usually we discuss something about, hey, you know, what happens when you train too hard. But in this episode, I want to talk about who can you train too easy in distance running and not see the results that you want to see. And I'll give you a couple of examples of what I mean by that. So obviously we all train at certain levels and we all try to do our, you know, our best versions of ourselves. And what we're trying to accomplish is that we want to find out, you know, how good can we be in this sport. And in order to do that, what we have to strike, balance, okay, between our running. That means hard and easy and moderate in percentages in order to see where we can be. And that's exactly what we're going to discuss today. Well, can you possibly, you know, if you train too little or not so much even that, but too easy, okay? A lot of times people just think, you know, hey, I run so and so amount of miles, or hey, I run 3 times a week or 4 times or whatever the number that you have. But that doesn't tell me the whole story, right? And I'm going to give you a couple examples. Like when I was training in a few years, during those years, I always have found out, like, this is an interesting question. Am I a high responder to mileage or intensity? And that's the one of the questions that I have found out personally, maybe hard way, maybe easy way sometimes. But me personally, as a runner, I don't respond to mileage as much as I respond to intensity. And that sort of comes down to your slow twitch muscle fibers, right? You could still be a slow twitch guy or a girl or whatever, like slow twitch muscle person, and you can still respond, you know, higher or better to intensity than just endurance training. So just because you go and you do 100 mile weeks, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're gonna go and see the results. I've experimented myself even doing in 2014, I had a lot of free time and I was motivated. So that's where that experiment came. And I said, hey, you know, I'm going to run 140 miles for 3 months and see what happens. The good thing is I didn't get injured. I was able to be an aerobic monster, but that didn't produce anything in terms of a result or feeling like spectacular, because probably what you need to do, even if you decide that you're gonna do 140 miles, for example, like some professional runners do, and it's amazing, is that you still need speed. It doesn't matter how much endurance you can acquire. If you don't have, or if you don't do speed, you will practically not be able to be competitive at a high level. And that comes to, you know, that comes to question to say, well, who's gonna win, a guy or a girl that does 140 miles a week and mostly aerobic and easy versus like an 80 mile person that does everything? I would say that the 80 mile person would be able to beat the other one because they have everything. They have all three trifecta: speed, strength, and endurance, because that's what you really need. So you have to like ask yourself, like look at your training and kind of say, and that's why, you know, a lot of times that I coach people, sometimes my coaching techniques over time for certain people change based on the fact that I start to realize, or as I start to coach, you know, like same person for longer periods of time, I start to think, hey, you know, maybe initially I thought this was a slow twitch person all the time, or like, And then you start realizing like, hey, this person is responds to intensity much better than they do to endurance training, you know? So sometimes you can assign the same workout to the same person. Somebody might, let's say you know, if you want to talk about workouts here, if you might give out like 10 miles for a marathon runner at marathon effort, right? And then there'll be somebody that, you know, maybe that has a little bit more, I don't know, if you want to say like fast twitch muscles or whatever, or maybe responds a little bit more to intensity. You can give that person maybe 4 times 2 mile with maybe like a half mile easy between. And that person, you know, still can get what they are doing, but is not going to be wrecked. Well, the first person can just go all day long. So that figures out where personally you can kind of change that too. It takes some time, but like you can change some of the physiology, I guess, or over time. Like if you're not good at endurance training, that doesn't mean that you have to remain not good at endurance training, right? It's like, for example, there was times where I used to not like long runs long time ago. Does that mean that I don't have to say, hey, I don't like it, I'm not good at it, I'm not gonna do it? That does not mean that. That just means that I need some time for my body to get used to be able to do these long runs. And that's what I did. It took me 2-3 years, and I slowed it down. Honestly, the first thing that you always want to do when you're trying something or you know, you want to change something, slow down, okay? And then you'll, you know, like that's one of the things when you say, well, I couldn't finish my long run. It's because you went too fast. If you go slow enough, you will learn that you can go for 2 hours. You can go for 2.5 hours. You know, once you're capable of doing that, you know, then the next thing you do is you increase the speed, you know, not like you're forcing it, but naturally. And that's how you get better, guys. You know, like you have to work at certain components. Like none of us are perfect at everything. So anyways, back to what I was talking about. I got off the topic a little bit. Can you get too slow? Can you get slower by not running fast enough in training? And the answer is yes. Like that's one of the things that I believe that happens to me personally when I go to high altitude. I become slower. Instead of becoming faster, you know, like let's put it this way. High altitude, we as runners go to high altitude for one particular reason. To gain access to the next level training, right? So the whole point of going to high altitude, right? Or just, it would be like, think about it, like when I was in 2012, I bought an altitude tent, and you know, it really, like, I figured like that it would help me with improvement and not being able to go to high altitude. I said, hey, I'm just gonna sleep in high altitude at home and then train at sea level, because that was like the perfect trifecta for me. And I still think that's the thing, because let me tell you why I struggle. Like when I do go to high altitude, I become slower, and regardless of, you know, how many times I've tried, I've definitely been always like, I've not been able to, I guess put it this way, I've not been able to access my high speed. And I've lost, maybe I improved the lung function of it, right? Being at 8,000 feet, you're able to improve your heart rate, and that's all fine, you know? My heart rate is already very well developed, so it's not something that I must like focus like crazy. What I'm trying to focus is on like, hey, I at this point in my career, you know, I need speed, right? I need to be able to run at powerful, good pace, you know, good close to that 5 flat per mile. And you know, when I'm at altitude, it tires me out every single day. So I end up running a lot of my runs at 8-minute pace. You know, you can say, hey, no, in the 10, 8-minute pace is still hard because you're going up hills and wind and like crazy trails. that's all good, right? But if you want to become in good shape, like, is 8 minute mile or even 7 minute mile, is it anything close to 5 minute per mile? It's far away from it, right? So I get to that point where it's like, okay, yeah, I can even do 100 mile weeks, I can do 120, but none of those miles are meaningful. Like, you know, what I need to do is I need to go to the track and run, you know, and knock out like 12 400s and a 4 mile tempo, you know, get like 7 miles of at lactate threshold effort. And that gives me some points, that gives me some like confidence, you know, and then I'm able to go to the race and unleash that, you know. That's how you gain confidence. While in this case, you know, all I can do is I can go to the track in Eldoret and, you know, I can run 2400s at 75 with, you know, maybe 74 with a 60 second break. Yeah, it's great, you know, I'm getting 5 miles at five flat pace, but now it's like there are breaks, you know, like, and that's one of the things that I don't have to do at sea level, you know. I just go for like, you know, if I go for a 4 mile tempo run when I'm in good shape, I knock that thing out at five flat, 505, you know, and I go home feeling good about it, you know. Yeah, maybe it was just a 4 mile tempo run, but look, a 4 mile tempo run at your goal race pace or, you know, current race pace, you know, it's as easy as it sounds, just 4 miles. That's still a good workout. That's better than running 2400s at 75 with 60 second rest, right? The specificity, that's the word I always get messed up. How specific your training is extremely important. So yeah, then you add up your mileage. You look at it, you know, I'm out there, I'm looking at my mileage and I'm saying, okay, when I was pacing Jane for Berlin, I'm saying 100 mile weeks, you know, I got my long runs, I got my workouts. It's like I'm doing everything. And yet, you know, when I go to a race, it's just not there. Whether I'm tired from the high altitude, whether, you know, I went to measure my blood work when I was in Latvia, my hemoglobin was like 16.8. You know, those are dream numbers. And what do I do with that? I run a 1:11.5 at the World Championships. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, I go in, put in the work 3 months, and I get a 1:11. I mean, I could do that in practice. You know, like Allen Iverson used to say, we're talking about practice. I used to run 110s, 109s in practice. And here I was at the World Championships running 1:11 for the half marathon. I mean, not because I wanted to, not because I was in that shape, but something was off in my body, you know, and that's for me to figure out. You know, I have not figured it out up to this day, you know, like, what is wrong with me? Why was I not able to run, you know, at least like a 5:10 pace, you know, something respectful, or, you know, like at least 5:0, you know, just within PB vicinities, you know, like something, just having a normal day. And it's not the first time where I've gone to altitude and I've come back. In fact, I've done this 20 times in my life. And yet it's like, it's so funny because, you know, I know it's, I keep believing that at some point it's going to work, and it has not worked yet. Of course, granted, this time my main job was to pace Jane and to help her in her journey, which I feel very good about it, that I did my good job. But then it did not transfer into anything, into my own personal goals. You know, as much as I love coaching people, as much as I love helping everybody else, you know, if I'm doing well in my running, then I am a more of an asset also to you and to everybody that I coach, because then I am in good mood, that I am in good everything, and I'm able to like transform my positive energy to you guys and to everybody that I coach. And that's one of the things that has been a frustrating thing, to not be able to, you know, test my fitness or not to be able to find out why, you know. And I think I'm realizing is like, when you go to high altitude, you're forced to slow down things, right? And for some it might be a great opportunity to build base and to do all that good stuff, but in my case that doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything, you know. I've accumulated plenty of miles in my career. At this point, I need to access speed, I need to access intensity, and I need to feel fresh in training. And one of the things about being at sea level is that, like, you know, when you go for evening jog in let's say, in, you know, whatever, I'm in Orlando now, but let's say I go and I'm in a Crestwood or something like that, and I go for my evening jog, it automatically comes to, you know, 120, 125 heart rate, and I'm going at 7 flat. Like, you're not going to access 7 flat in the 10. Like, you're just not. You're just going to end up going, like, no matter how much you try, you end up going like 7:30 to 8 minutes, right? So regardless of whether it's altitude or everything, well, that's the difference, you know? So, like, and you keep accumulating all that training. And then you realize that, you know, like, yeah, you've done 100-mile weeks, but maybe like 70 of those miles were at like 8-minute pace or like 7:30, you know, to 8. And then you have some workout days. That's not good enough. You know, like, when I'm at sea level, I'm able to bring some sort of intensity into my training on a daily basis, whether it be, you know, some strides, pickups, whether it be a steady run, followed by a workout day, then an easy, then a faster long run. So I try to bring all that gap together, you know, like, I try to become it like where I'm moving at a good pace. So anyways, to come to a conclusion, guys, you can run too slow in training only if you have this problem. And the problem is, you have to have facts that tell you that you're running too slow, right? For example, in my case, when I go run, and it will be like, you know, it will be like 110 or 120 heart rate, that's too slow. That's not putting anything into my cardiovascular or aerobic base. It's just not doing anything. Yes, I can, you know, recover well, get the blood flow going, but physically, you know, talking about if there are any changes happening in my body when I'm running at that heart rate, I would say no, right? So, and if you have this, but you would have a different issue. Maybe you're going for your easy run and your heart rate is high. And in that case, you don't have any other choice. You have to run at that effort because your heart is telling you, that is your easy, whether you like it or you don't, right? In the case of my dilemma is that I feel tired and my heart rate is low, but my body does not want to pick it to like 130, 135 because it will feel like it will put me into the hole at altitude. While it does not put me in a hole at sea level, like, I can go 130, 135 every single day, and, you know, I'm going to be, you know, under 7-minute miling and even, you know, close to 6:20s. And that's the thing, you know, like, so when you start adding and looking at training, what I used before was like, I used like this, I don't know where I found it, but it was a very good thing that helped me with, it was very good, like, sorry, I got lost what I was saying. What I'm saying is that in the heart rate part, that if your heart rate is saying that, hey, you are capable of running faster, why don't you? Like in my case. And then my legs will not respond, or my physically something else is not responding. In your case, it might be, you might have the same dilemma as me, or you might have a totally different dilemma. You might be like, hey, Coach B, I gotta walk. I'm at 140 beats. It's time to walk. So you end up, you know, walking at 140, and you have no choice. You know, you can't just say like, okay, I'm gonna put it to 160, and, well, because then you're not training your heart to run at low efforts. So that means you never improve, and that's one of the things. So we all have a problem, but we have a different problem. And once we know that problem, that's how we have to differentiate it. And that's how we have to fix this issue, you know, like, because at the end of the day, oh, I know it now what I was talking about before, what I forgot about the chart that I had, where like you'd get certain amount of points for running at certain heart rates. So if you spent like 60 minutes of your day at 75%, I don't know what it was, but you get like 20 points, for example, right? And then But if somebody else spends 60 minutes at 65%, they only get 10 points. So you see, like, we both ran easy, you ran easy, I ran easy, you ran for 1 hour, I ran for 1 hour, you ran for at 75% heart rate of max, and I ran at 65. One of us gained 20 points and one of us gained 10 points. So who do you think is ahead? You, of course, because you've gotten now 10 more points going into Tuesday. Then you go into add your workouts, tempos on Tuesday, you add your points. And that totally was adding how much points were you accumulating of intensity per week. And that's, I was going to say, that's my friends. I always heard somebody there. And that's my friends. That's how it is. That's how we determine who becomes in better shape. Not who runs more miles. It's what you do with those miles. Anybody, you know, not anybody, but if you willpower, if you mechanically don't break down, anybody can get themselves to go and run a lot of miles. No problem. But are those miles, are they going to bring you success in, you know, in personal best? Is that what's going to bring you your fastest times in 10K, 5K, half or full, whatever that you're training? So your job as an athlete and my job as a coach is to figure out, well, what is it going to require for you to be successful? Maybe it's going to be less miles, right? But at faster intensity. And that's what's going to bring success to you, right? And that's what's going to advance your fitness. You know, if you can do 50 miles or 40, but there's quality in there and you got all the components in there, and somebody's doing 70 because maybe you can't do 70 or 80, or maybe you don't respond to 80 miles. That doesn't mean that you can't be successful. No problems. You got everything going on in there. Quality is very key, guys. You know, don't ever forget that. You know, as much as we always say that, hey, you know, mileage and all of that is very important, it's not the most critical element. Of course, if you can nail a perfect balance between mileage and intensity and feeling good in training, You're going to get the best year. You get the best result. And that's what I always tell people. It's like, it's a trial and error. I don't have all the answers, neither for you or neither for me or neither for my wife. Can, you know, I, as a coach, I do my best to put people in a position to succeed. Am I going to make some mistakes? Yes, I will. And, you know, but am I going to make them a lot? No, I don't make a lot of mistakes, but I will make them mistakes because we are experimenting with some of the things. If I knew how to example, you know, just to fix something and just say, hey, I got all the answers for you to be successful, then life would be very nice and would be very easy, right? But in training, in coaching, it's not like that, you know? It's not like that, guys. So it's more like experimenting. It's doing the right thing. But having the mind as an explorer, as a coach and an athlete, that's the asset. You know, like knowing that, hey, you know, you always say, well, we always done things this way. Okay, but we always have to change, gear things up, figure out like what works, what does not. These are all the things that we have to do as coaches, you know, as athletes. We can't just say that, you know, we're gonna do this and that. You know, we just have to look at the training from all perspectives, adjust. Next, you know, what might work 1 year might not work the other year. What might work 1 month might not work the other time. We have to be always constantly grasping, changing, and reading our body of situation. Well, what's happening? You know, like, why am I feeling bad? Why am I feeling good? You know, even when you feel good in training, you have to ask yourself, why do you feel good? And then you look at, like, of course, look at my training. I'm eating right. I'm sleeping good. I'm taking protein. I'm taking iron pills when I need to. I'm stretching. I'm in Normatec boots. I'm doing like band work. I'm going to gym 3 times a week.
I'm having successful workouts, I'm motivated. Of course you're gonna be having a PR year, right? And then you have years where like you take like where everything is, you're not going to the gym, you know, maybe you're not running your doubles, maybe you're eating bad, maybe you're not doing core, maybe you're not stretching, you don't go to the gym, you reduce the intensity. Where do you think that's gonna take you? I can tell you that where it has taken me right now, nowhere. Nowhere, you know? So here I am, compensating for the previous time, and now I have to like catch up back in order to, you know, to change some things and to move my fitness to the right. And that's difficult. Like I could have just eliminated all of that in the first place and been in a good spot, right? Anyway, guys, the whole concept in this podcast was to say, can you run too slow in your training? And I would say that most people don't have this problem, but there are people, if you've been running for many years and if you feel like your heart rate is developed high, so you always have to ask your question, what's holding you back? Because I would say for 90% of the people, it's their heart rate. For me, it's not my heart rate. It's more of a, like my legs are not powerful enough for my heart. It's like I feel like sometimes I have an elite heart, but my body is like a, like, I don't know, like somebody, an older person that's like, is not able to match up the heart and the body. And that's always been my issue, you know, like, that's why I think not going to the gym constantly, I think has put me even more back, because I don't feel the power in the legs. And in order to be able to handle 5 flat pace for 13 miles, you need gym. You need power in legs. You don't have power in legs or good mind and physical ability, you're not going to handle, you know, 65 minutes of racing at 5 flat pace. You're not going to handle it. And that's it, you know. And you know, I know I give a lot of examples in, you know, about my training, but I also want you to apply this to yourself. Look at it, you know, like, but, you know, like, but honestly, most of you, if you're running in your low heart rates and you're feeling good and you feel like that's the right pace, then you don't have an issue. Now, if you feel like your heart rate's way too low, then you have that, you know, then you can start bringing it, you know, higher to that 70 to 75% on daily basis. You know, you don't need to be slogging at 65% all the time, except warm-ups, cool-downs, and really, really like those recovery days where you're tired. You know, where sometimes it's just, you've done a workout on Tuesday, you want to get out on Wednesday, and honestly, maybe you start at 65, and then you decide, you know what, this is where I'm staying at, and that's where you stay at. And that's smart, you know, like, you're not always going to feel good, but when you get in really good shape, you're automatically start running faster, even your recovery and easy days. So, but anyway, guys, this episode was about too much of slow running equals slow runners. Is that a true statement? It is in my case. I think it's not the case for my, like, somebody like my wife that can run 100, 110 miles a week at altitude, and she doesn't get slower. You know, she responds well. She loves the easy evening slow runs, you know, and I can't say no to, you know, to tell her to run faster. Maybe, you know, maybe it works for her and she's at high altitude, and, you know, it works for a lot of other people, you know, so not everybody's the same. So that's why we have to understand and study each person as individual and respect their how they're made in training, or how their body is made for training. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening to this episode. And, you know, ask yourself, you know, is this the dilemma that you have? And if you don't, then, you know, hopefully you learned something here and you don't have to apply every episode that I record. Maybe you don't learn anything on this one. On to the next one, and so on. Thank you so much.